But the pasuk is, the pasuk is saying, "Vayomer Hashem Elokim Ein Adam Moyekach Mimenu Das Tovara." V'yata Panyishlach Yado V'Mokach Gam Eitzach Chayim V'Achal Chay L'Olam. So apparently, it means that once Adam became a like the Rambam says, "Das Tovara," over here, "Das Tovara" is bad. Okay, it's bad. It means that he's involved in the instinctual. So then the worst thing would be if he would have eternal life. That would be the worst thing. Because then there'd be no chance for him to ever live properly. Once he's involved in the instinctual, and instinctual, the egoistic, the part of man which is the megalomaniac part of man. So once if you be a chai la'olam, then that would be his total destruction. Total destruction. Yeah. So the one thing that saves him is the fact that a person realizes his own mortality. So that really shows him that all his egoistic strivings are only illusory, because in a short time it's all over. So that's what it means. V'ata pen yishlach yodo v'ochal gam me'etz ha'chayim. Okay, because see, before that, and that's basically what he wants. It means that man, after once he's reduced to the instinctual level, and his das is used for the purpose of the instinctual, so what he's seeking is eternal existence. Okay, that's what he's saying. So the pasuk of Ayashkin, Mikedem Lagan Eden Esakruvim, Esla Dachervim Esapechas, Lishmar Esderech Etzachayim, means that was the antidote to that. So it's an interesting thing. I mean, what exactly does it mean? I mean, it would seem that the pasuk is saying that it is possible for man to to live forever. It's plain shot in the pasuk. But what stops him, what prevents him, is the kruvim and the la techervim as haperas. That's the safeguard. That's the safeguard. So the kruvim, Rashi says, is malachi chavola. Malachi chavola. And the la techervim as haperas, I mean, the malachi chavola means all the different physical tragedies that befall a person. In other words, that stops him from progressing. Okay, just all the negative events that befall a person or humanity. And the la tacherem es apechas is, it means the la tacherem es apechas would mean basically the aggressive instinct in man, where the sword turns on himself. In other words, he destroys himself because of his own aggression. The wars that people have, the fact that la tacherev is misapechas, it reverses back on himself, and his aggression causes his own destruction. So really, it would seem from the pasuk that those two elements are the elements that prevent man from returning to the life, which were returning to the Gan, so to speak, and giving him an opportunity to extend his lifespan. Because that way, it would mean that it would be possible for man to discover a way to extend his lifespan. But what stops him is, what impedes him is certain elements that exist, like the natural catastrophes that befall a person, and therefore it impedes his progress, and also his own aggression, which turns on himself and destroys him. Which would mean to say that if a man didn't have these two things, he might be able to progress to the point where he could actually increase his lifespan. Which means to say in terms of seichel, but lodas tovara, And he uses that to engage in the Das Tovara. In other words, he uses the Seichel now to engage in this process because he's reduced to the instinctual. Progress of the Greeks and me was turned around because they destroyed the whole culture of the Greeks. The Romans came in, and it set back civilization for centuries and centuries, centuries and centuries. The Greeks were really approaching, amazing level of scientific level. They had automated cars in Alexandria. It was amazing what they had. I mean, they were really moving, advancing tremendously. But the Romans set everything back. I mean, it was a lot to have Mr. Pechas. For centuries went the Dark Ages. I mean, the whole centuries were lost. Progress of centuries were lost. That's a lot to have Mr. Pechas. If a person wouldn't have the only thing that allows a person to look at life objectively and see through in terms of recognition of his own insignificance is only because of death. That's only because of death. Without death, it would be impossible. That's in other words, there's two types of greatness. There's a greatness in terms of the objective knowledge of God. Okay, that you need tzaddik and tzaddik. Because the way a person's raised, if a person's in tzidkis, there's progress. In other words, instead of a person's raised improperly, so he has to spend half his life to undo what he learned until that point. Then he has to start over again. I mean, so obviously he's not going to reach the same level as an individual who was raised properly with the true ideas from early youth. So such an individual has a basis in their emotions, a basis in their intellect, a method of thinking. They're more advanced. At 20 years old, such a person could be where, that's what Chazal, Chazal were youngsters. They were great in abstract thought. I mean, 19 years old, 19 years old was a tremendous Talmid Chacham. Because they were raised from early on in terms of proper thinking and Derech HaChayim and everything. You can't duplicate that. I mean, a regular person is raised in a corrupt system until even if he happens on the right path, I mean, until he undoes everything, and even certain emotions are really incapable of being undone. I mean, certain things stay there permanently. So these are impediments, permanent impediments in Hakaras Hashem. So a person who's a tzaddik ben tzaddik is at a tremendous advantage. But a tzaddik ben rasha is a different greatness, because there's the greatness of Kvishas Hayetzer. It's a different kind of greatness. And that's why I say all the time, and in Yahadis you don't find it. The Torah isn't really concerned who's greater. There's different types of greatness. So a person that has the ability to undo everything that they lived through and they experienced, to be able to see through the falsehood that they were raised in, that's a tremendous thing. It's a unique kind of godless Adam. It's unique. But it's not the same in terms of having someone that's perfected in terms of Yedias Hashem. And the greater a person is in Yedias Hashem, the greater the tefillah is. That's Dalaf Neimiyat Ami. So a tzaddik ben tzaddik has a greater Yedias Hashem, and the tefillah is on a higher level. That's why Yosha Lo Hashem. Because the tefillah is always measured in terms of Yedias Hashem. But it's a different godless Adam. Different godless Adam. Is it a different kind? It doesn't necessarily. That's what Chazal say. The makom shabali tshuva on the main tzaddikim gvurim chalom lama. Because it's a different kind of godless. It doesn't necessarily mean. I mean, it's a unique quality in man to be able to do such a thing, to undo everything. It's a unique quality. It's a unique thing as far as godless Adam is concerned. But it's a different thing. But with regard to tefillah, that's really what the Chazal is saying. By Yosha Lo Ad Hashem, with regard to tefillah, it has to do with Yedias Hashem. And generally, Tzadik ben Tzadik doesn't have to be, Tzadik ben Tzadik has an advantage over Tzadik ben Rasha. Okay, I mean, you understand what I'm saying? It's not necessarily the, you I mean, it's a general rule that Chazal is saying. It doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be. Avraham Avinu was a tzaddik ben Rasha. But in general, I mean, Chazal, they're giving you guidelines. In general, tzaddik ben tzaddik is on a higher level. Okay, all things being equal. That's why the pasuk says v'yasa l'rasha. The idea of Klal Yisrael suffering is not a necessary idea. I mean, it means it's only because of our own bechira. I mean, basically, after Matan Torah, had we exercised our bechira properly, there would never be any suffering. So that's all the things that we live through, and the horrible things, the tragedies, is really because of one thing, that we abandoned the Derech HaChaim and the Torah. That's clear. But your question is with regard to the initial of why they had to go down to Mitzrayim. Vavodim vinu osu marba meos shana. Yeah. I mean, apparently, it would seem that if what would have happened the other way would have been that if the Achim, and the Shiftei Kah, and it could have gone on, and could have gone on and on. I mean, that every one of the Achim has children, and then they would raise their children in Derech HaTorah. It would seem that way, but apparently that would not have happened. Apparently, what would have happened was that you'd have Yechidim, but you would never have an entire Am. You have Yechidim, people would fall away. There would always be Yechidim. Always be Yechidim. But the concept of Klal Yisrael as an Am was apparently only possible through having the people in numbers first, and having the numbers in a certain situation, and then because of that situation, they're all Mekabel HaTorah. So you had to have the phenomenon of an ummah, an entire ummah accepting the Torah. Once you had that, then it goes on. But without that, without the ummah, the entity of ummah at Kabbalah HaTorah, you'd never have it. You'd never be able to start. You'd never be able to get started. And if it just went on one generation after another, you lose, you gain, you have yechidim here, there, but you never have an entire Ummah. Yeah, well, why you need a negative in the clause is, we explain it, because the point is that if Klal Yisrael were able to just go away from the brachas, that would mean that they could live a life based on chance like any other nation. And then you wouldn't have any Klal Yisrael anymore. They would have gone. They'd be gone. The only thing that keeps them is the negative, because they're never successful in the natural way. When they go away from Derech HaTorah and they try to rely on the laws of nature, they encounter klolos. And if it weren't for that, then the klolos would have been lost. As in the Kabbalah HaTorah, the Shvua Ba'ala. There's a negative hashgacha. That's good. Because the laws always have a reason. They always have some kind of a pseudo reason. I mean, some kind of a where the Rambam says. I mean, I'm just going without looking. You have to find it for me. But the Rambam's question is the Rambam in the Moravucham, where he says that on the one hand he says that you can't find a reason for every detail. And looking for a reason for every detail is a waste of time. Okay? And on the other hand, he says that, in his explanations, he explained things, and he even explained every detail. And it's a kind of total contradiction, yeah.
What?
Now, you see, what the Rambam means is like this. The Rambam means is that in studying a mitzvah, you have to understand that, see, a mitzvah is really, it has to have a certain structure. A mitzvah is really an implementation of a certain idea of perfection, and it's given a certain tzura. It's given a certain tzura. So what the Rambam means is that there are certain things that are necessary in a mitzvah because of the fact that a mitzvah requires a certain structure. Because intrinsically, the mitzvah requires a certain structure. So there, if you start looking for reasons, then you're just not marks. You don't know that the halacha has a certain way, a certain methodology, you know, so it has to have a certain structure to it. Okay? That's why, I mean, once a person knows how to learn properly, so his method of analysis, any mitzvah he takes, is going to be the same method, same approach. Because there's a certain structure to Teresh Baal Peh, and Teresh Baal Peh is a certain way that mitzvahs have to be structured. So there the Rambam says that you're wasting your time if a person's an ignoramus and he doesn't know that this idea that a mitzvah must have a certain structure, and therefore the certain elements that are necessary for the structure, and he starts looking for every detail. This is like a mystical thing that he thinks that everything has to have a reason. So he's completely ignorant. But on the other hand, when a person wants to understand the ideas of the mitzvah, aside from that which is necessary for structure, the details should fit in. The detail, there should be reasons for the details that are other than that which is necessary for the structure of a mitzvah per se. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? That's right. So the Rambam's against those people that say that every little detail is some kind of a symbolic reference to this and that. He yells that's incorrect. Okay, that's incorrect, and it's just like making a mystical thing out of it. So logically, there are certain things, certain details are necessary in order to have a proper structure of a mitzvah. But on the other hand, if you know that, you'll be able to see that there are other details in the mitzvah that are there that are tied to the idea of the mitzvah. Doesn't mean that there's only one idea to every mitzvah and the details, there are no details to it. No, there are details to the idea. But those are details that are outside the framework of that which is necessary for the structure of a mitzvah. So you have to know that. In other words, what he's saying is that sometimes the reason why a mitzvah has a certain form is simply because of the need for a tzura. It must have a tzura. Exactly. You couldn't have a mitzvah without a tzura. So it demands a tzura. Now if it demands a tzura, so it demands a specific tzura. So it's not that it must be a lamb instead of a goat. Okay? But the mitzvah can't be just optional. Take what you want. I mean, a mitzvah demands a certain specific structure. So therefore, the halacha demands that it must be specific. Otherwise, you don't have a mitzvah. Just go take one of five things. I mean, it can't be a mitzvah like that. It lacks in the character of a mitzvah. It must have a tzura. Must have a tzura. That's what he said. Okay. See, what he's saying, the question that Elias is, why does he equate the person that looks for reasons in every detail to the person that says there's no reason? Because what he's saying is that these both are from the same mindset, but they're just two different expressions of it. One person says, you can't know the reason. There's no, that's it. It's beyond our ability. You can't know the reason. Right? The other one maintains that every little thing has to be a reflection of some kind of an idea. Because it's the same mindset that, like, everything, that it's infinite. You see? You understand what I'm saying? That it must be, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a mystical kind of thing that must be, every little thing is infinite in its in its reasons. So he says that's not the approach. The approach is that the system of Torah works according to Chachma, and if Chachma dictates that a mitzvah must have a certain structure, and you're looking for mystical things in there, then you're just as bad as the other guy that says it's too mystical to understand it. You understand what I'm saying? I think what the Rambam is saying is that they're both the same because they're both afraid to approach the area in a rational way. That's what he's saying. They both can't tolerate the limits of rationality. Because, you understand what I mean? In other words, if a mitzvah has to be structured a certain way because you see halacha demands a certain structure and you want to read into it more, then that's it. And then you're away from the chachma. Then you have to be willing to understand it according to chachma. Chachma dictates this is the way it has to be. That's it. You're looking more. It's just crazy. So then you're in the same plane as another person that just doesn't want to accept what rationality dictates. He means to say, in other words, that there are a certain type of people that when you show them that this has to be this way, a rational thing, they're upset. They think that that's a denial of God's infinite chachma. Because he's saying this has to be the way and there's no reason for it. He says that's, on the contrary, he says that's chachmas Hashem, is that this is the way it has to be. So there's a certain, chachma has a certain limitation, if you want to call it that. I mean, it's you understand that? And if you can't accept that, so then you're looking for, you're looking for some kind of mystical thing. That's not, he says, and then you're away from the truth. It's just a matter of which form. That's basically the Rambam, you can't argue on it. It's a mitzvah by the Machanem, and it has nothing to do with putting your finger in your ear, but they used it as a kind of a poetical hook, so to speak, remez, to remind you of it. Because the Torah was shgura b'fihem. I mean, so you always tie it to the Lashon HaMikra. Because Lashon HaMikra is shgura b'fihem. So the Rambam shows you that that's what he says. When they say that the lulav is the backbone and this and that, he says they're talking about certain ideas of perfection. That's what they want to teach you. But they tie it to the lulav and this. So that's not the real pshat in the pasuk. That's not the real meaning. Okay? That's what the Rambam is explaining. He says only a fool will think that that's the real interpretation. He doesn't know. He doesn't understand the derech of Chazal. And that's what I'm saying. This is the third book. We're in chapter 43. Okay. He says like this. He says, I believe four speeches are a symbolical expression of our rejoicing that the Israelites changed the wilderness. No place of seed or of figs or of vines or vineyards. A water drink with a country full of fruit and rivers. In order to remember this, we take the fruit which is the most pleasant of the fruit of land, branches smell best, but the leaves, best herbs, the will of the river. These four kinds have also those three purposes. Okay. Secondly, first they were plentiful, another good appearance, green, and also are excellent as regards the smell, the branches of the palm tree and the willow having neither good nor bad smell. Thirdly, they keep fresh and green for 7 days, which is not the case with peaches, pomegranates, asparagus, nuts, and the like. Okay? Yeah. So there he says that it's because of the structure of halacha, certain things were excluded. Okay. But basically, according to the Rambam, I think people miss, when they read this Rambam, they miss what the Rambam is really saying. But the Rambam saying, basically, is that the Dalad Minim is really a shevach v'odor l'Kadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Eretz Yisrael and Eretz Chitos Ha'or giving us an Rima. I mean, it's a beautiful idea. That's what he's saying. And that's really, it's shevach v'odor. It's to remind the person shouldn't take for granted that he has Eretz Yisrael. I mean, that's really what the Rambam is saying. It's the most important purpose. That's the greatest purpose. Because Sukkos, on the contrary, Sukkos is a time when a person harvests his crops, and he feels a sense of success and arrogance. On the contrary, he should remember that this is all Chasdei Hashem. I mean, what can be more important than that? That's the most important idea in terms of perfection. A person takes a dal min, he thinks about the shedra and the lips. This is the Rambam's reason, the most important reason. Karas Hashem, Chasdei Hashem. I mean, a person shouldn't be a kofi tov, maka tova. I mean, this is the highest method of level of for a person to relate to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the real perfection of the mitzvah. I'm not saying the other ideas of Chazal are not important, But the Rambam's is certainly more essential. Those other ideas, that's around explains. Those other ideas are true also, but it's not the pshat in the pasuk. But it's different. The problem with the Rambam in his Tamei HaMitzvos. See, the problem that people have with understanding the Rambam's Tamei HaMitzvos is they make one mistake because it seems simplistic. See, but they do not see the depth of what he's saying. I mean, just like in New York, in the case with the shatnas, you know, they say, oh, come on, that's a shatnas, this is a richuk. I mean, not, well, shatnas is talking about the kalayim, I'm talking about. You mentioned shatnas too. You include that also. Same kind of thing, because the mystical powers of one thing came from the earth, vegetable, and the other, okay, yeah. So what I'm saying is that what people fail to do is, they fail to see, because the reason to them seems like, oh, come on, there must be something much more, you know, mystical air. So they're disappointed, kind of, in the Rambam's reason. But they don't look into the Rambam's reason, the significance of what he's saying. I mean, because they don't understand what the Rambam's talking about. First of all, they don't understand anything about the primitive cultures, which the Rambam says you don't understand that. He says you really are not in a position to understand most of the mitzvahs of the Torah. So they never studied it, and they don't know, and they're totally ignorant. And the Rambam had amazing perception, intuition, unbelievable in the sense that he knew exactly where to go. I mean, exactly where to go. It's something which an average person would never even think of. The Rambam, with his unbelievable intuition, knew exactly the spot where it's at. Because basically, I mean, the whole discovery and uncovering of the human mind in terms of psychology is exactly what the Rambam says. It's an amazingly amazing thing. But what the Rambam is saying over there with regard to shadness is people just, you know, frown on it because it seems like, oh, come on, Avodah Zarah. I mean, that's what I'm saying again, Avodah Zarah. I don't understand the way these primitive people, how attracted they were to the area of procreation and how this was like a whole mysterious thing and a force and a power. And of course also they were involved because of the instinctual desires that drew them to that area. And that's why these fertility rites were extremely powerful and significant kind of activities for these people. And the danger of people getting drawn into the, lured into that kind of a mentality is unbelievable. I mean, that's it, the culture's gone. So people don't see the significance of what the Rambam is saying, you know, because they don't understand and they have no concept of the human mind, and they don't understand how a human mind can really fall prey to such a thing. I mean, you see, it's an amazing thing. You take a person who's an aborigine, raised as an aborigine, and you take that same person when they were a child and raise them in this culture. That's two different people. Kachak, Mizuch, and Marav. I mean, like it's a, if the two people met each other, if they were twins, they wouldn't even be able to relate to each other in any way. See, there's something funny about the human mind, something strange. It demands an explanation and understanding. And Yahadus knew the answer to that, to why that's so. I mean, and therefore, a lot of the reasons that the Rambam gives, people like they make light of them because they just don't understand the human mind. The Rambam had an unbelievable sense about human nature, and deep sense about human nature. And that's why his reasons, which people just, you know, make light of, are so important when you see them. If you understand what he's saying, the significance is overpowering. But people just don't want to think about it. They don't have enough knowledge and they don't know where the Rambam's going. Yeah, the same thing we said with regard to the Dalmina. I mean, same thing with regard to Dalmina. The Kiyom HaMitzvah of the Dalad Minim, the way the Rambam explains in the Mora, is like the greatest Kiyom. It's the greatest Simcha. It's a realization of the highest level. Okay? In the other things, even those people who maintain the other things, which the Rambam shows are absolutely wrong, they just don't know how to learn Chazal, but even in their ideas, I mean, when you think about the Kiyom HaMitzvah and the effect on the perfection of a human being, you'll see the Rambam's stands head and shoulders over even what they consider to be the Tamei HaMitzvah. You see, but you understand? Okay. Yeah. See, the Rambam says, so the question is, I mean, you take the Ibn Ezra's idea of Kilayim and Shatnas as opposed to the Rambam's idea of Kilayim. Now the Rambam's idea is just saying that it's a that what's the reason for it? The reason is to prevent fertility rights. Okay, but that's according to Rambam. Okay, but the Ibn Ezra says no. He says something much deeper here. In other words, that the Taruvas Aminim really reflects the Minim that exists in the human being. And corruption takes place only through Taruvas Aminim. If a person would recognize what part of him is the instinctual, what part of him is the Nefesh Sichli, and he'd recognize and always have before his mind's eye exactly what the components of his nature are, he wouldn't be a Chote. So therefore, he says that that's the idea of Kelayim. Kelayim is where chait comes in, wherever you have an intermingling of the minim in the human being. So that's a very esoteric idea. And the question is, it seems that these two are incommensurate. Like one is, how can they both be right? It seems that kerchok mizuch mara. I think the answer is what Michael started to say. Namely, the Rambam says, he says when he gives his time, he says, I'm not saying this is the only time for the mitzvah. I'm not saying it's the only time for the mitzvah, okay? It could be many times for the mitzvah. And he even says, and maybe we're wrong, and we could be wrong in certain instances. You know, because time and mitzvah is a very difficult, you have to know the limits of the human mind, and that you venture into an area where you can obtain knowledge on the whole, but you can't say in specific, you can't vouch for every specific intellectual venture and say you're going to guarantee it. Okay? Yeah, that's true. But the thing is like this. In my opinion, they're both correct. Why? And even though they seem so distant, that's not a contradiction. Because really, you see, the Torah was given to all of Klal Yisrael, which means that it was given to the Hamonam. The Hamonam have to have a Torah, even a person that's not a Talmud Chacham, a person that's a worker or whatever, a professional individual, person that doesn't learn, he's Mekayim for the Bart Abom by Krishna Shachas Varvas. Torah is given for him too. Okay. And of course, the Torah was given for the greatest Chachamim. There's no question about it. The Rambam in the Morah does not give the Ibn Ezra's Tam for the simple reason that the Rambam goes for the Tam that must be. In other words, there's a Tam on mitzvah that if you find, when you see a mitzvah, and you see that without this mitzvah the whole system will be destroyed, and then you have another reason for it, which reason are you going to take? You're going to move for the most basic reason. Because mitzvah is basically there to protect the system and to allow a person to be in a system which gives him the opportunity of perfection. Correct? So therefore, there's no question that if you had to choose tamei a mitzvah and you had before yourself two tamim, one tam is in terms of the whole system, in terms of hamonam, that if you don't have this, boom, the whole thing collapses. And then I'll show you another tam for a chacham, that a chacham will gain something out of this, and not only gain, but it's extremely important for a chacham to have this concept before his mind's eye, so he knows what his goal is in terms of perfection. Which of the two would you say is more pertinent? Of course, the first one. There's no question about it. The whole system collapses, you have nothing. But that does not mean that if you have a reason, just because there is a reason that protects the system, so you found the necessary reason, does not mean that there's no other concept there. That God in his infinite chokhmah could have chosen something which does both things. In other words, it's for the hamon ha'am is one thing, but there's a benefit for chacham as well. Benefit for chacham as well. So therefore there's no tati de sasri between the two, and the reason why they're opposed is very clear. Because the Rambam in the Talmud, it's not going to go into that, because his Sefer wasn't written for that purpose. Rambam's Sefer wasn't written to give you every possible benefit that can be gained from a mitzvah. The Rambam was to show why this mitzvah is necessary. Rambam's reason, you can't do without. But that does not mean simultaneously that for a higher individual the mitzvah doesn't function as well. And that's what the Ibn Ezra says. So really it's not a tata de sasri. And the same thing is true, and the Rambam would agree, that if you find the basic reason for mitzvah and then you see another benefit, So you there's nothing wrong. It's not irrational to say that both the benefits were there because that was part of God's design. It's not irrational. It very well be. The Rambam himself, I believe, it says many times in the Gemara, gives other benefits, many benefits. Okay, see, that's a good question. The question is, in a modern day society, so would you say that the mitzvah is still functioning in its full blast, so to speak, in its full force? I mean, because it would seem that in today's society, that people don't, don't really, if they actually cross breed, they do it for professional reasons, not really for scientific business, whatever, economic reasons. Yeah. So first of all, the question is it's not a question, because the reason why we have reached this level is because of this mitzvah. Yeah, well, we had a very large effect on that. Okay, so the thing is the reason. So you cannot say that people write histories and they always attribute every good thing that they see to every guy that they could find, and they leave out any Jews. But the truth of the matter is, it's a very dishonest thing. I mean, it would be pretty easy, really, to show how progress really owes its existence to Yahadus. If not, there wouldn't be a hard argument to show. I mean, but besides that, so therefore you cannot say that a mitzvah that served the function of giving you the good, it doesn't make it any less important. Okay. Yeah, but in truth, the matter is that it never loses significance for another reason. For two other reasons. First of all, without the mitzvah, there are many people that would still fall prey to this. And if you really investigate what goes, the part where it says, you say in the kinnis about Yoshio, right? Lo kom komo mimosa vigdor, the kinon Yoshiyahu was such a great tzaddik, and he died in a tragic way, with the chariot, and he got all the chitzu went through him, and all the story over there. So it says that he was such a tzaddik, or kom kom amim amosav vigdor, means Moshe Rabbeinu, and then it goes on to say that he didn't realize, achrei hadeles lizgor, I forget the lashon over there, that he thought there was no avodah zarah, he thought he uprooted avodah zarah, but behind the doors of avodah zarah were still there. And that's why he made a mistake, and he thought that he said, let them come through. He fought them because he said even a cherub, even a cherub shall shalom will not come into your land. And he made a political decision that was incorrect, and it causes his death and a whole tragedy of Kosra. So you see what was over there. You don't, even a person, even a great person like Yoshio, you don't know what's going on behind the doors where the avodah zarah is. Privately, that a person, you look at the society, you look at the society in the whole, but individuals, and how many individuals are caught up in these things, and they come up with, today, one thing's good about today's society is that, we have a tremendous opportunity to come out with, pretty quickly through the media, to come out with information, tremendous wealth of information. And they find out how many people believe in angels and crazy ideas, nonsensical avodah zarah type of things. It's amazing. It's unbelievable. Okay? I don't mean malachim, angels. But the thing is, I don't mean srafim under mimala. So they believe in these crazy things, and you see, but it's kept secret. It's kept very private. Private. You didn't know that. No one knew that Reagan was making decisions based upon his wife's astrologer. It takes a lot. People do these things quietly. Try to hide these things. So I would say that even Bisman Hazeh, there's no question about it that it serves a function, because people have primitive ideas, and these primitive ideas don't change. They're rooted in the mind of man, part of the nature of man.
So the particular
and that's what.
Like the change. when linen, in particular, is done.
Yeah, but okay. So, right. So, of course, man is different. Now, even today, a modern man. I mean, when they made these reports on what the thing is that the still goes on today. Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, if you're really honest about it, it's like the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. It was repressed, but the energy comes out anyways in different forms. Okay, there's no question about it. So I say that even on a practical level today has tremendous value. But aside from that, you understand the mitzvahs of the Torah are really, really modern also. The limud. What's Rashi saying, Dvarim, that if you don't learn a mitzvah, it has no value. No value. Just to do a mitzvah without limud is nothing. Okay, I mean, that's part of your hadas, your sod yadas. So limud on mitzvah, like the Rambam says in the end of, the beginning of Kachim, he says, people make a big mistake and they think that it's no mitzvah to learn Kachim because you don't have kabbonis today. He says, no, he says, the ideas of the kabbonis is unbelievably important, and only a fool thinks, you know, because you don't have the practicality. So the limud on mitzvahs, and when you learn the mitzvah, you understand that the purpose of the mitzvah is to warn an individual against a primitive drive which has primitive expression. If you're a chacham, you realize that in modern days, it's also there. It's a part of the human mind. It's based upon human nature. So limud is a limud of a mitzvah, even if the practicality of the mitzvah has changed, like the Gemara Sanhedrin says, and like you have a modern society, but the fact is that the same man, it's the same man, like I said, you take two Aborigines, they're both going to be tremendously different, but there's the start of the same human being. So you see clearly that the same emotions exist in the primitive person as exist in the modern person. So if you're a chacham, so you realize when you study the mitzvahs of Torah, it gives you insight into man and into the whole Derech HaChaim, which affects every single human being because they're human. So therefore, the value is immeasurable. Okay? That's true. You're right about the fact that people say that people don't like the Rambam's reasons because they feel they're not applicable today. But that shows you a lack of commitment to Yadus. I'll tell you why. Because isn't it logical if there's a mitzvah that without that mitzvah you wouldn't have Klal Yisrael? I mean, you can't say that's unimportant. Okay? Okay, so you have to agree it's extremely important. Now, therefore, you're going to say, but since the reason and the benefit of the mitzvah was only for those previous generations, so therefore I have no chiyuv to keep it anymore. I mean, that means to say that's wrong to say such a thing. Because that was the Kabbalah of Matan Torah Maimed Har Sinai, that they're on the Kabbalah that they're going to keep the system, and the system says that the only way mitzvah could be removed is only temporarily through another year, but the Vatam Olam was posay, Vatam Olam by Maimed Har Sinai, where the mitzvah was through another, through Moshe Rabbeinu, right? So it was an Isser al tikshul shlosh yamim. So then, what do you call it? So even there, you need a matir. And the only way, I mean, in the Torah system, you can never have a matir. Except if a Navi says l'fishol. But otherwise, you can't have a matir. So therefore, it means to say that a person that will not keep a mitzvah, because the Tama mitzvah doesn't exist, it shows there's no commitment to the whole system of Matan Torah. It's a lack in commitment. I mean, that was the ischaivos to keep these mitzvahs, not the Tama no Tam. It doesn't matter. So it's a big chesaron when a person does that. That means I'm only going to do it if I have something in it for me. Even though, I mean, they're looking for something there, ruchnius, which is admirable, but the fact is it still shows a lack of commitment to Sinai. Yeah, it's a lack of commitment to Sinai, because it means to say that, first of all, if you ever follow that, I mean, you're going to be in serious trouble, because you're just going to start distinguishing, discriminating anything that misses. So that shows a lack of commitment. That's why that approach is wrong. I mean, actually, that's why you had that halacha by Sinai. V'ato em olehem shuvu lehem olehem. To show you that the Kabbalah Satara is not just contingent upon the Tamei mitzvahs. It's a commitment for every mitzvah, and every dikta mitzvah, La'olam, regardless of the changes that take place and whether the tamim are whether the tamim exist or don't exist. That's the halacha commitment. So anyone that denies that, I mean, denies their commitment. But what would bother people, I guess, is the fact that you're doing this because it benefited other people in the past. So what do I do that for? I mean, what I want to say is like this. I want to say, the question is that what about Yemos HaMashiach? You say that the mitzvah is going to come back. I mean, you're not going to say the mitzvah is butl and mavutl. I mean, that's okay. I mean, you do study such things like mitzvahs that were not even the doros. No, Kachim say every day, Shibana Beis HaMikdash. I mean, it's imminent. You have to look at it as an imminent phenomenon. So that's very realistic. But the question is that what about Yemos HaMashiach? Yemos HaMashiach, everybody's perfected, so what's the reason for the mitzvahs? So Aaron says, he wants to say like this, that the reason is because the limud Torah is infinite Chachmas Hashem. And without the Asiyas and Mitzvahs, the limud is like a dove bottle. Because you can't. You see, for instance, by Goyim are not allowed to learn. Are not allowed to learn the other mitzvahs that are not Shevnes Me'erach. So one of the reasons is because simply it can't be. Torah is not idle speculation. If that's why the Shidduch Shanim hold it. If a Goy accepts a certain mitzvah himself, he's allowed to learn everything about that mitzvah. But Torah can't be idle speculation. So therefore, what he's saying is that if the mitzvahs would become bottle mevutl, the whole limud Torah would become bottle mevutl. That's a good argument. It's a good point. I have an answer from a Rambam. It's not Rambam that answers the question, because the Rambam says in Pirush Mishnayos Avos, so the Rambam says like this. The Rambam says that a siyas and mitzvah should not be a dava kal in your eyes. Why? Because you see, even Moshe Rabbeinu, who even though he knew he couldn't complete the mitzvah of the Sheishar Miklat, he still started the mitzvah. And he knew he couldn't complete it, but he started the mitzvah nevertheless because of the schar of the mitzvah. So he says, therefore, you should never think that Asiyas HaMitzvah is a davakal. What does he mean to say? He means to say, even a person that's as perfected as Moshe Rabbeinu, still the mitzvahs will serve in certain instances to perfect the individual. Okay? To perfect the individual. That's more along with the reason. To perfect the individual. So therefore we do not know which mitzvahs at which times perfect an individual. So even though in general you could say Yemos HaMashiach, it's true that a lot of the mitzvahs, you basically had the system of Yahadah's been constructed for Yemos HaMashiach, it wouldn't have been the same. Perhaps it wouldn't have been Tayyag mitzvahs. But you cannot say, there's no way that you can, that an individual can say that the can overlook the benefit of a particular mitzvah at a particular time, and therefore it's necessary to have king kol mitzvahs. I mean, that's what the Rambam says. So the Rambam says Moshe Rabbeinu, so you can say it over here. Okay? But you see, I think it's more to it than that. I think what we're dealing with was what we mentioned before. And namely, I mean, I think it ties in with what Aaron's saying as well. Namely that, you see, Asiyah and Machshava are closely tied together. Asiyah and Machshava are closely tied together. And like we mentioned before, the Ibn Ezra's Tam for Shatness is not the same as the Rambam's. So it could very well be, there are many tamim for mitzvahs. So it could very well be that the basic tam, the most necessary tam, is bach. But it doesn't mean that the asiyah of a mitzvah isn't a gain in at least directing the mind towards certain areas of human perfection. Okay? And asiyah really, and machshava. See, asiyah and machshava, you can't really separate. You really see, philosophers try to do that. They see they weren't successful. Never really had, you know, I mean, they weren't successful in having a system going on for daradaris. All right, because and the reason is because asiyah and machshava, while the essence is in machshava, but there is no question that the nature of man is such that the asiyah brings him into the machshava. If a person gets into machshava, it's not such an easy thing. A person's not drawn initially to machshava. You sit down to eat, but then you have a shalua bracha to make, so then you get involved, and all of a sudden you find you're involved in machshava. So involvement in machshava and asiya are really closely related. That's due to human nature, the nature of a human being. And that's something that will never change. So therefore, the mitzvahs, one of the benefits of the mitzvahs is that it's a system where the person can't avoid being involved in asiyas ha-mitzvahs and naturally being involved in machshava. So that's never going to change. You say that's never going to change. But of course, some of the basic reasons will become bottled. There's no question about that. But that doesn't matter. In other words, what we're saying is, it ties into what we started out with. That the Rambam's Tamim are really the most basic Tamim. But the Ibn Ezra's Tamim are really for a higher level. So really, the answer that we're saying here is precisely that. I mean, essentially, it ties into what we discussed originally. That even though the Tamim of the Rambam may become Batlasulavo, but the Tamim of the Ibn Ezra, which deal for Chachamim, will not become Batl, will never become Batl. Yeah, that's right. Even though Pekim, you still don't have the knowledge, you have to learn. I mean, which comes back to Aaron's reason. Yeah, that's great. Okay. I think the answers all tie in, basically. The answers all tie in. And every person with mystical inclinations, as soon as they see these Gemaras, they grab onto them. So, Ketzamet Pasul. So Rav asked me what a certain Gemara brought to my attention, because apparently he's learned this area. As a matter of fact, I really should have gotten back to him. But anyways, the Gemara is in Makkos. He says, this Gemara is one which attracts the mystical tendencies of the masses. Amar Yudam Arav. Gemara says, Yudam Arav. Kilalas Chacham Afilu Bechina Miba. Strange Gemara. Says, the Klol of a Chacham, even for nothing, the Klol is going to come. That sounds like, so immediately you have to understand what particular emotion is being aroused over here. It's the emotion of the magical power of words. Okay, yeah, the magical power of words. That people in the primitive people think that words, and if you say things, that it makes them happen. Okay, so they think. I mean, Rahman Litzlan, that's what this Gemara means. Something along those lines. That because the Chacham said it, that's why it's going to happen. No matter how stupid and idiotic and ridiculous it is, it's going to happen. No matter how unfair, unjust, doesn't matter. But he said it. Okay. So the Gemara is like this. So the first thing, of course, it's like I always say, if you take a look at the Chazal, you immediately see you can't say that. Why? Because the Gemara says, Amar Avyuda Marav, Kilas Chacham Afilo Bechina Mibar. At first, only a Chacham. It doesn't say Kilas Tzadik. It says Kilas Chacham. Okay, of course, the Tzadik is a Chacham, but I'm just saying the emphasis is on Chacham over here. Chazal used the term Chacham because it has to do something with Chacham. Well, what's the case of this? Minola Machitofel. How do we know this Machitofel? Shebeshoa Shekora David Shitin Kafa Tahoma. So when David HaMelech, and short, I mean, what it means is, Rashi explains that David HaMelech, when he dug for the Yesodos of the Beis HaMikdash. And what happened? And Yishalmi says that he found, when he was digging into the Tahom to get the Yesodos of the Beis HaMikdash, so he found over there a cheres, a piece of... right. What do you call that? Chard. Right, chard. Okay. Sheik Biakala that started to speak, V'amalo, and said to him, Al titleini mikan. Don't take me away from here. Shani kovash alatom, I'm covering over the deep. Miyom matan Torah, shero da kol oretz. Okay, the lo shama David ledvar v'natlo. David apparently didn't listen to this little, that's crazy. So he took it. So what happened was, okay, so bor le mishta for alma, la alma. So it wanted to flood the entire world. Omar, so he said, Mahu lichtov shema chaspa. What What's about the idea of writing the shame on the chaspa, on this little chaspa, right? Or on another chaspa, I don't know exactly. Umishdo betahoma, and throw it into the depth. Deleku aduchte. Okay? Deleku aduchte. That it should stop, the tahom should stop bubbling over. Okay? So the Gemara says, Leka damalei midi. So nobody said anything. Nobody answered. Omar, so he said, Kol hayadea dover zevein omro. Anyone who knows the answer to this thing and doesn't say it, yechonik begrono. So he should get choked in his throat. No sachitofo kalvachoma ba'atzmo. Sachitofo worked out a kalvachoma. Omar, I said like this. Umalasas shalom bein ishli ishto omra atara shemi shenichtav bekedusha. Okay, that God said the word that He allows His name to be erased because of shalom bias. L'chol olam kula l'koshkin. Said the mutter. Amalei shari. So he told him it's mutter. Kosef shema chas boshadi at the homo. So he wrote the name on the clay. He threw it in the tama. No chas v'koma duchtei. And the depths quieted down. Vachilu hachi, and even so, ksiv, it says, Vachitofo roki lo nesasoitsaso. Vachitofo saw that his political advice wasn't taken. Vayach vashe sachamor, vayokam vayelach abeso. So he got on his donkey, went home, el iro to a city, vaytav abeso, left the will vayachonit. And he understood. Okay. So he chucked. So that's what the Gemara says. So that's now the Gemara is a little further. Interesting. The Gemara says, "Amar avol kila schacham achila al tanai ba." The klal of chacham even on a condition it comes. Menolon me eli. The Gemara le eli Shmuel because Eli said to Shmuel ko yasa lechol kim lechol Yosef. He said to Shmuel, meaning to say that you should also have bad kids like me. If im techached mi many davar, you don't tell me what happens. Even though it says that he told him everything, still it says that Shmuel wasn't zocha to have his sons follow in his derech of tzidkus. So exactly what Eli, because Eli, Eli himself, what happened to Eli? So it says the kilolatz chacham afilo al tanai ba. So even though it was conditional and he fulfilled the condition, still happened. Interesting thing. I mean, is that the difference between why the first one is Killa Schachem Afila Chinam Ibar wasn't between Chinam and Tanai. Chinam is also Tanai. He's saying, if you know and you don't tell me, so then you're going to choke, right? That's the same, so that's a Tanai, right? Why is it different than in the second case by Shmuel where it calls it not Killa Schachem Al Chinam but Al Tanai? But the difference is because Al Chinam means where you didn't isolate any individual. He just said, this is a quality that if someone doesn't tell me, so then they're going to be cursed. If they know, they're not telling me. So now the person knew and told, so that's it. It's chinam. There's nothing. Tanai is where you isolate an individual and say, I'm giving you a curse on a tanai. If you do such and such, you don't have the curse. But if you don't, then you're going to be cursed. So he makes it, Tanai is where you isolate, the person is isolated, you understand, he's isolated, and you say, if you do, you make a Tanai with him. Al-Chinam means, it's a general, no one's isolated, it's just Al-Chinam, this is what he said. And if you fit into this category, you're cursed, if not, not. So he didn't fit into the category, so it's Chinam. It's not a Tanai, he didn't actually tell him that if you do such and such, this is going to happen, if not, not. There was no Tanai, there was no identifiable party. Okay, so it's Al-Chinam, he wasn't even part of the group. He wasn't even identified, and still it came. The one al tanai, of course, is much easier. Why? Because al tanai it means like this. It says killa schachem afil al tanai ba. What it means, it doesn't mean. First of all, there's a simple question everybody should ask who wants to interpret the Gemara in a mystical way. There's a big problem over here. It'll come out like this: that we know more than Eli. I mean, it's a funny thing. I mean, he didn't know this. He didn't know this idea. So he went and he made the statement to Shmuel. And he didn't know this idea, and he looked what he did to him. I mean, what kind of a thing is that?
What he said didn't come through.
What do you mean?
He said if you file it tonight, it won't happen.
Right, well, that's exactly right. Yeah, it didn't come true. Yeah, so, so it comes out, we're on a higher level than the Nevi'im. Because Eli was a Navi, was a Navi Lashem, and we're on a higher level, somehow or other, we're on a higher level. Yeah, so you know immediately that can't be. That's why, you know, immediately that kind of shot just cannot be. Because we have a Masorah how to learn. I mean, we don't know more than Nevi'im, and Chazal didn't know more than Nevi'im. And to say that we know more than Eli, why? Because in retrospect, we see this happens, that's a wild kind of idea. But what the Gemara means is very simple. That's why it's a Chacham. It means to say, it doesn't mean always. If it always would come, Eli would be a Rasha to do such a thing. And what it means is that when a Chacham gives a person a Klala, even out tonight, he looks into the person's life. And there are certain weaknesses that he spots. And he zeroes in on those weaknesses. So many times, the person, if the person just walks away from the situation and doesn't give it thought and lets it go, so to speak, it's going to happen anyway. See? His words will come true. It doesn't mean because of the magical power of words. Chas v'shalom, it's nonsense. It means to say, explaining that a chacham, when he gives a curse, even on a tanai, he doesn't just stop say things. He looks into it, it's based on a reality. If it's based on a reality, it means the person has a weakness. So many times, even though the person gets out of the klala, but no, it's his chayvus to Eli he got out of. But the fact is, there was a weakness there, and Shmuel neglected it, and that's why bunt lo alochul v'rochav. So it was his fault. That's right. It's exactly the opposite of what the Hamon Am think it means. They think it means magical power of words. That can't be. I tell you again. But on the contrary, it means to say he doesn't say it just for nothing. Okay. Yeah, if he breaks the Tanai, in other words, he doesn't keep the Tanai, so then he definitely will come. Because the Chacham is saying to him that if you do this to me, then I guarantee you that you're going to be destroyed, because I can see the way, exactly, because with Chacham, I can see that he's going to be destroying himself. Yeah, that's what it really means. But not tonight, because he can change it. But he can change it, because that's the nature of the Klala, really is itself great Chacham. It means that I'm telling you, if you don't tell me, that means you have this kind of an emotion, and you have that weakness, and you're going to be destroyed. So it means to say, he should have walked away, he should have said, just a second, he spotted a weakness, and that's why he based his whole thing. I'll have to correct it. He didn't correct it, and then that's what happened. Exactly, the Tanai has to make sense with the club. The K, Achitofel's a little bit harder. Achitofel's a little harder.
He killed himself?
But he killed himself. So basically, the way I understand the Gemara means like this. What does Gemara say? Gemara says that this piece of pottery, okay, said if you pull me off of here, it was digging for the Yesodus at the base of Mikdash, and he said if you pull me off here, then the whole home is gonna overflow, explode. So why? He says, like, let's take a look at Rashi says. He says, Shani kovashala tahom miyom matan Torah, sheroador kol haaretz. Okay, so it means to say like this. It means to say what the stone said to him was like this: that when Matan, in the time of Matan Torah was Roda Kol Haaretz, and the whole earth actually became a manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's his galus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was manifest all over. So much so that if it wasn't for this little thing, the whole thing would collapse, fall apart. That's what the Marshal means. So what the stone said to him was, and you want to make a base on Migdash and take the Isgalus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and be Metzamtzem it into a small area? This is a big problem. The base on Migdash is a big problem. That's basically what the stone said. So how could you do this? You can't do this. This is actually a degradation of Kol Shamayim. Because Matan Torah was the event that it was Roda Kol Haaretz, and the entire earth became a vehicle of his galus Kvoda Kadosh Baruch Hu. And now you want to take the Kvoda Kadosh Baruch Hu and be mitzamtzem it and put it into a bias, shrink it. Can't do it. So, and if you do it, the whole earth will simply come to an end. Okay. Cease to exist. When you analyze the story, you have to think, where did David Melech come up with that question over there? We're taking the shame on Hashem. What kind of question? He wanted to know whether he could do it or not. Where did he get that idea from? Okay, how do you know it's going to work? What is the idea? Right? Here, take a look. It's a pasuk in Devarim. Pasuk in Devarim is Devarim Beis Vav. After Shlomo Melech dedicated the Beis Hamikdash, so he said a whole tefillah. Levorach is kol kaisel, kol kaisel levorach Hashem l'kei Yisrael. I should do your whole bracha and tefillah. And then it says like this. It says when he speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, Va'ato Hashem l'kei Yisrael ye'omein devorach asher dibarto la'avdecho l'david. Ki ha'umnam, it's pasuk yuches. Devarim Beis Vav pasuk. Ki ha'umnam yeshev Elokim es ha'odom al ha'oretz. Hine shemayim u'shmei shemayim lo yuchal kalucha. Af ki habayis hazeh asher bonisi. Okay. So Rashi says, Lashon Tmiya, v'chi efshe sheyamin odom, sheyeshe velokim al ha'oretz, ki shemayim u'shmei shemayim lo yuchal kaluch. Ela machmas chesed shegomalto l'dovid ovi tzimtzamto shchinascha. Okay, you see? What does it mean? It means to say that's exactly the problem. It means to say that the Beis HaMikdash really is a problem. It's a philosophical problem. Why? Because really, so how could you have a place that's designated as a bias Lashem? The idea is pogeyan in cover the galus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that was the problem. So therefore, what was the solution? The solution was that sometimes it's necessary, in order for the system to prevail, it's necessary to do something that really is contrary to the whole yesod hados of Hashemayim Mishmei Hashemayim Lo Yichal Kaluch. But it's necessary to do it. We need a market for it. So really, you need the biggest matter. That's why, by the way, that's what Binyamin said. That's why the problem was really Livna's bias, because Mishkan was only temporary. All of Mishkan. But over here, the problem was to do such a thing. How do you have a right to do such a thing? Yeah, exactly. So you have to have a heta, you have to have a mati. So that's what he meant when he said that take a piece of clay and write the Shem Hashem and throw it into the deep, indicating that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is matir to do certain things, even though they're really, on a philosophical, in a perfect philosophical world, it'll be improper. But since we are imperfect, so you have a matir. So he says, take it and throw it into the tahom, to show that the Migdash, the building of, to indicate the fact that the building of the Migdash really is a problem. Really is a problem. It's Mechi Hashem Hashem on a certain level. But we can't help ourselves. We need it because people are weak and people must have a Mikdash. You see? That's what it means. Tzimtzamto Shchinasa. That's what it means. Because the idea is contrary. That's what Shlomo Melech said. That was the problem with being in a Mikdash. It's contrary to the concept, the basic concept of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The term, Bayis Lishmi, what does it mean? But of course, we understand what it means. But nevertheless, it's not covered Shemayim to say such a thing or to have such a thing in existence. Okay, which we call Bayis Lashem. So what did Achitofel say? So Achitofel gave the answer. He said, you see, that the Shem Shemayim is Nimchak because of Ish Vishto. That's what kind of covered Hashem is that? How is it possible that a Kadosh Baruch Hu should allow such a thing? Chias Shem Hashem. So that shows you the infinite Chesed Hashem, that even though the Shem is Nimcha, but since it's done for the purpose of Shalom Bayis, which is the most important institution in terms of Klal Yisrael, Mishpacha, so therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's Midas on the Sanuso. So Midas on the Sanuso, Kal Vachomer for Kol Olam Kulo. That's what Achitofel said, basically. So he learned it out from the. He derived it from the halacha. That's mutter to do such a thing. So they did it, and the problem was removed. Okay, but it shows you one thing: you can't do any of these things unless you understand them. Yeah, because it'd be a terrible thing. To just build a base of Migdash without saying the Tefillah, Shemayim, 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 Lo Yechal Kalucha, Vavke Bayis Zeh, not to mention that there's a Matir for the Migdash would be the most horrible thing. It would be almost tantamount to Avodah Zarah. Okay? So, for the fact that it's temporary shows you that it's just a, it's something which is necessary, but it's not the, that itself shows you that it's only, that you, it's working with a Matir. It's an intrinsic Matir, the fact that it's temporary. It's an intrinsic Matir. Right?
What?
Yeah, I think the thing about Shos is why choking? They said choking because, okay. Choking is because if you, it means to say that he, the danger is the world's going to get overflowed. Okay? So, when you, you'll die from drowning. So drowning is choking. It means to say like this. It means to say, what the Chazal means like this. That what was the curse? The curse was that anyone that's not concerned about this, that's not concerned about it, that knows the answer to this and doesn't say, it means he's simply not concerned about the world. Okay? There's such people like that. Like, they're just concerned. They could be very righteous and very firm, but they live in their own Dalaramis and they have absolutely no concern for anybody else. They're totally self-centered. Okay? So David Malach said, if there's someone that like that, so he himself should choke. Because an individual like that, whose framework is completely evolved in himself, so he deserves to choke. So the thing is like this. What the Gemara means is, Afilo na Achitofel really gave the answer. He gave the answer. But why did Achitofel give the answer? Not Lishma. Because Achitofel was nothing, never Lishma. But because he enjoyed being a great Chacham. Okay, that was his, so he thought of the answer. He's a great genius, and he thought of the answer. And he, on the contrary, he was happy to show that he was able to come up with the answer. He's proud of it. But Chazal say, Afilo Chinam Ibo, that even though he was involved in saving the rest of the world, but since he didn't do it for the right reason, so therefore his Mida was not changed one iota. And that's why later, what happened was that he was an individual that was completely involved with himself. The moment he saw that is his schemes and his plans are not going to be fulfilled, and politically he's going to be lost, there was no value for him to have any life anymore, because that was the only value of life, was his own power, so therefore he destroyed himself. So that's what Chazal means. Afilo Chinam Ibo means, even if you extricate yourself from that curse through an action, but since the action wasn't Lishma, you didn't really extricate yourself, and it's going to happen. The disastrous results will still take place in the future. Okay, will still take place in the future. That's what it means. What Chazal are teaching you was, even though he did an action, because he complied, because he did an action which really would make him subject to a bracha, on the contrary, because a klala means if you don't, but if you do, so then you're on a high level. But doing it was nothing, because even though he did it, he still was subject to the exact same kind of onesh, because he hadn't improved himself any, even though he participated in an activity which should have been an uplifting activity and would have guaranteed him that this would never happen to him. All Chazal are really saying, it means to say that the fact, it's just an indication. It's just an indication that he didn't even, as I said, it's just an indication that he didn't extricate himself from his evil ways, even though he participated in an activity which would have guaranteed him that he should not have died in that manner. Okay? That's what I mean. It's relating his Misa to the previous event, because they were both through, they were both, the Chanika is really just, it's an accidental feature, but it makes the accidental feature makes this relationship be bolate. You understand what I mean? It makes it connects right. That's right. It makes it manifest.